Good afternoon. Thank you for holding on. I apologize for the delay. I was in something that I tried to rush out of as fast as possible in order to be able to share some ideas of Torah, hopefully together this morning. So again, this week is Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei. And again, we summarize in Parshas Vayakel the different that which we built, that which we were preparing for the Mishkan. The Medrash tells us that at the end of the process, Kevin Shebo Litein Cheshbon, Moshe came to give an accounting of how the donations were used. Amar Lahem, so he told them, Kach v'kach yotzel Mishkan. Right, this is it. They wanted full transparency. Such and such is the amount that went for the Mishkan. Uba yeser, and with what was left, Asisi Mishkan la'edus. With the extra material that remained, they made a special Mishkan for the Eidos. Seems to be referring to the for the Aron, and that's why it says at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei have that's why it says Eila Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEidos. Why is it repetitive? Why does it say Mishkan HaEidos? So the double expression there seems to prompt the Medrash to say that there is more going on here. And that Mishkan here is referring to somehow to a second Mishkan of sorts. The literal meaning of the word Mishkan is a resting place, and then Itziv suggests that the phrase of Mishkan HaEdos refers to the, as a whole, refers to the Aron, which served as the resting place for the, resting place for the Luchos. But if that's true, asks the Itziv, how could it be, if you think about this, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would change or would add to the Aron after the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Hashem gave him such precise instructions? Now there's something left. Oh, Moshe says, and I did something extra. What do you mean did something extra? The job that Moshe Rabbeinu had was to be precise, was to do exactly what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him. So to that then, Itziv suggests that the enhancement was not made to the Aron of the Mishkan, but apparently there was an earlier Aron, one that Moshe had made of very simple wood, which housed the Luchos, Shnios, the second Luchos, until they were ready to go to their permanent resting place. And this was also used to hold a special Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was using to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that was complete, that also went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rav Schwab, in his Sefer on Chumash, suggests that the standard interpretation of Mishkan as the Mishkan, as a tabernacle, he agrees with it in Siv, and he suggests that there was no second structure that was built. In his view, the phrase in the Torah of Mishkan HaEdos, the Mishkan of testimony of Eidos, reflects the fact that the Mishkan was primarily about the Torah, and it was the Torah which stood at the center of what the Mishkan represented. And although obviously the Mishkan was more than that, it needed to be a reflection of the values of Torah. So again, just in terms of the pshat, what's the double lashon? What do we learn from the double language? That is this machlokas. And it even goes so far as to suggest that perhaps there was something additional, this other aron that was used as a temporary dwelling for the luchos. Earlier in at the end of Vayakel, so it talks about the fact that all the things that Bezalel had made, and it says that he made the Bezalel made the Aron out of the wood. What's the significance of this? So the Medrash writes, "Ein midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kemidas basar adam," that a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't act in the same way. So again, that's obvious stuff on many levels. But what specifically is indicated here about the difference of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works from how we work? So he says, Midas basar adam shum makam maka beizmol merape vertia. When it comes to flesh and blood, right, a person wounds with a knife and heals with a bandage. Aval kadosh baruch hu b'mashehu makehu merape. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wounds and heals with the same thing. With the very thing with which he wounds, he also heals. Where do we see that? We know Vayavo'u Marasa, they came to Mara, but lo yachlu l'shos mayimi Mara, they couldn't drink the water, kimarimim, because they were bitter. Lama, right? Why were they bitter? So Amar Rabbi Hador Hayamar b'masav, because the people didn't act properly. Vayitzak al Hashem, and they complained. Vayorei Hashem eitz, and Hashem showed them a tree. Umehaya, what type of tree was it? So Yesh Omim Zayit, some say it was olive. Yesh Omim Arava, some say it was the Aravos. Yesh Omim Hardefuni. Vayesh Omim Ikrei Tein, Vikrei Monim Haya. And some say it was the root of a fig or a pomegranate tree. Unetalo v'shlichu l'mayim, and he threw it into the water. Miyad vayim tiku hamayim, and then right away it got the water got sweet. Have, and on this we say we machusayach erpoich, and that I will heal you from your wounds is apparently learned out from this pasuk. So again, what does that show? That a God used, right, a bitter species of wood to heal the waters from their bitterness. So somehow this is supposed to show this overall midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the significance of this? It's a nice story. But what exactly is the significance of this principle, and what do we see about the nature of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world from the fact that the same thing is used to make it bitter or sweet, that he heals with that which he wounds? So Dibna Magid suggests that this is not just a device to demonstrate that Hashem is in control of everything, but there's a much deeper idea here. And the idea is that any wound that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings is intended to bring the refuah. Is intended to bring the cure as well. Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Paro to free the Jewish people, and Paro reacts, and he makes things more difficult for the Jewish people. And Moshe is distraught. He failed. But in reality, right, the setback laid the groundwork for the redemption. Right? Only part of the 400 years had been done by making it more difficult. In the end, they were there for less time. The experience that the Medrash is relating of Mara seems to really be about the very nature of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that, yes, there are bad things that are going to happen, and there are difficulties that we're going to face in life. But we have the choice, we have the task, we have the responsibility, and we have the opportunity to realize that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, included in that is the potential for the refuah. This actually relates to something I spoke about on Purim. We didn't have a chance to meet last week, but the thought on Purim is from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, what was the biggest miracle of Purim? So the biggest miracle of Purim was that Ahasuerus asked Vashti to come to the original Suda. So some will say, okay, yeah, because that was started the process and Esther became queen. He says, no, that's not why. He says, because the Gemara tells us that Bnei Yisrael were punished because they enjoyed because we enjoyed the meal. They were nana from the Suda. So what do you see? So he says, unbelievable. How, what's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? At the very Suda, at the very meal in which they were sinning against him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already planting the seeds of Yeshua. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us. And it's our choice, it's our opportunity, and it's our responsibility when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings whatever the makkah will be, is to realize that somehow, and it requires a certain amount of bitachon, requires the bitachon the Chazon Ish speaks about, not the bitachon that everything is going to be good, but that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And when we realize that everything is, it's different than a person. When a person does something, you know, we don't know what his calculation is, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, that the makkah and the refuah, they're intertwined. And it's up to us, when we have that perspective, then we can take the bitterness out of the moment. When we realize that the sweetness sometimes depends on how we relate to it, then hopefully it gives us the chizuk to get through the more difficult moments, and to even when we don't see the Yeshua coming, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that hopefully gives us the wherewithal to be able to deal with whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.